WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W2280P Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Four people, including a New York City police officer, have been killed in a Midtown Manhattan office building shooting. The shooter took his own life. It happened around the time the people were heading home from work.
This was something that just caught them completely off guard.
New York Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch.
Four innocent victims are dead. Among them is NYPD police officer Dida Rul Islam, 36 years old, 4 years on the job. Officer Islam was married with two young boys, and his wife is pregnant with their third child.
No word on a motive. CBS News New York's Jenna DeAngelis.
It still feels very chaotic in this area with all the police activity. You know, keep thinking about all the people that went into work thinking it was a typical Monday and then probably were wrapping up their day to all of this chaos, the active shooter in that building, and then all the buildings around it that went into a shelter in place.
At least three people have died and several others injured in a shooting outside of the Grand Sierra Resort and Casino in Reno, Nevada. Sparks Police Chief Chris Crawford.
In total, five people in the Valley area sustained gunshot wounds, and one victim was pronounced deceased on scene. Four other victims were transported to a local area hospital. Of those four victims, one was declared deceased at the hospital.
And a third person driving through the parking lot died when shot by the gunman. A suspect is in custody. No word on a motive. Electronic labels are spreading to grocery chains throughout Europe and the U.S., allowing stores to instantly raise or lower your prices.
Yes, dynamic pricing could be coming to a grocery store near you as more and more stores in the U.S. swap out price stickers for electronic shelf labels. There are concerns that this could lead to surge pricing. Think Uber and Lyft during rush hour or airfares or concert tickets.
They are sneaking food prices up again.
So far, it hasn't happened here. Grocery chains say they don't want to upset customers and have them be shopping at a competitor. But it could be just a matter of time.
I see good food at competitive prices.
Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
Colorado Buffaloes coach Deion Sanders says he was diagnosed with an aggressive form of bladder cancer, but after surgery, his oncologist has considered him cured, so he plans to coach this season. Sanders saying,
get checked out, because it could have been a whole nother gathering if I had.
Doctors say Sanders had his bladder removed and a section of his intestine was reconstructed to function as a bladder. Tropical storm Kelly forms and is now the second cyclone churning in the central Pacific Ocean. No direct impacts are expected to affect Hawaii. This is CBS News.
Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jenkins back for the pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where Elgton Jenkins is back to work and in his new role on the offensive line at center. Now, the team had asked Jenkins to move from left guard to center in the offseason, but when they signed Aaron Banks from the 49ers to a $77 million contract, Jenkins' agent objected. Today, Jenkins, returning from a back injury suffered during weightlifting in May, says he's back and will play center on his current deal.
Right now, I'm just focused on the season going forward, just being able to perform for the team and just getting our line right, offense right, and so we can be better this year than we was last year.
Today was the first practice in pads, and on just the third play from scrimmage, running back Marshawn Lloyd, a third-round pick last year out of USC, was hit so hard by defensive back Nate Hobbs, he fell to his knees and sat out the rest of the day. Baseball, Brewers and Cubs, game one of the divisional rivals, going at it tonight at American Family Field. We'll recap the game later tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds, showers, and storms becoming likely in the overnight. Low temperatures will drop back into the upper 60s. Our winds will be light, some of the rain locally heavy. Tuesday, showers and storms in the morning, then mostly sunny and lower 80s. It's 75 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we'll talk to Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser, and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week, Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by our next guest. He is the new chair of Wisconsin Democrats. Devin Remicker is joining us. Good morning, Devin. Congratulations.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. Lots of things going on. Of course, Governor Evers announcing last week he is not seeking a third term. We know that Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez has already entered the race. Rumors that Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley will be the next one to throw a hat in, but we are expecting numerous others. How does the party handle this going forward? How does the state party handle this going forward?
With neutrality. Is the simple answer. So the state party doesn't have a favorite, isn't going to support any specific candidate in the race. Ultimately, we will make sure that we abide by the neutrality required by our state party's constitution. And also, I think, is in the best interest of producing a nominee that folks can rally behind once the primary is over and march onward toward the general election. So I really am looking forward to seeing how the candidates who are already being talked about, some that may come out still, engage with voters and present a vision for the future for the party and for the state of Wisconsin.
I'm curious as far as when someone is going in to take over this job as the head of the Wisconsin, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, one of your biggest roles, correct me if I'm wrong, is fundraising. That's got to be exhausting. I just think it must be exhausting.
Well, I actually enjoy it. So here's why. When I was in college, I worked at Sears. I sold appliances, fridges, ovens, washers, dryers, whole nine yards. And really what it was and what sales boils down to, and I think what fundraising boils down to is helping identify a problem, the change that people want to see in the world, and then sort of presenting the solution, which is for a lot of folks, the work that we do at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and helping folks plug into the change that we are making that aligns with their own values and what they want to see in the world. That actually gives me a lot of energy. I enjoy it. So I have dove right in to the fundraising component of this job, in addition to all the other things that come with being chair of the party. But genuinely, I do enjoy it. And I think that there are so many people that are eager to see change in this state and across this country. And I think being able to engage with more of them over the past month and a half has really been a pleasure.
In the first time, it's been about a month now that since you took over. What are the things you're doing now to establish, your new leadership, talking to, the the standard bearers of the party, as well as just the people of Wisconsin throughout the state? Like, what are the first steps you make as the new head of the party?
So we have a lot of work to do here in Wisconsin, right? And I think that part of that is building on the infrastructure that we already have at the Democratic Party, year-round organizing, communication, fundraising. Yes, a really big part of that to make sure all that work can continue. But I do want to build upon the foundation that our former chair, Ben Wickler, laid down and make sure that, you know, in addition to traditional organizing, we are looking at new ways to communicate with voters. I think that knocking on doors is fantastic. It's something that we are going to keep doing. But we also need to make sure that we are in their social media feeds, in their text inboxes, and we're showing up at community events. So one thing that I am really focused on is raising the resources to stand up a 72 county strategy program, where we essentially really engage with our party units and with local activists on the ground in every county in the state to make sure that in this moment in time in which there's immense energy all over the state, that we're able to harness it and let folks know if they're taking action for the first time through a group like Indivisible or 5051, that, hey, we're on the same side. We're fighting for the same thing. We're fighting for the same change, and make sure that they know that they also have a home here with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. So I think that's sort of a new program that I'm hoping to stand up. In addition to, you know, being able to talk a little bit more about my upbringing and background, coming from a working class family and growing up in a working class community, and trying to, you know, sort of convey a message of possibility and optimism, but also as a bit of an antidote to Trumpism, where Trump has made major headway in communities like the one I grew up in. And I think just a little more firmly ingraining that in our messaging and what I bring to the chair role has been a focus of mine in the first month and a half.
If you're just joining us, Devin Remicker is our guest. He's the new chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, taking over for Ben Wickler. I know that one of Ben Wickler's big focuses was on the ground game, Devin, you know, with the door knocking and all those things. But I think you bring up something very important, is the right has been very good at utilizing online communications.
Absolutely. Yes, they have. They had a very intentional strategy. And now I think that strategy is kind of being aided and abetted by some of these Silicon Valley billionaires that went groveling to the Trump administration as soon as he was elected. And I think that in some ways, the deck is a little stacked against us. But that doesn't mean that we should step back and disengage, whether we like it or not. Folks are getting more of their news, more of their information online.
Right.
And there's also more flooding it than ever before. And I think that if we want to remain competitive, it has to be an all of the above strategy. It has to be doors, it has to be phones, it has to be community events, it has to be Facebook feeds. We have to remain competitive, and we have to find messengers that actually reach people and can break through all of the noise.
One of the advantages that I think that the Republicans have, though, Devin, and there was a story about this a couple of months ago, the message is decided upon. It goes out to Fox and all the right-wing influencers. They have a whole machine built. They send one message out and it gets disseminated in 400 different ways. Do the Democrats have anything like that in place?
We're working on improving our messaging infrastructure to help not only get a message out, but make that message resonant locally. And I think that one way that we can sort of, take down Goliath here and their giant sort of machine to be able to get their message out is by making our message more resonant and more engaging than their own. And I think that a way that we do that is by localizing and individualizing it so that in each county or each city, folks have the information about how the things like the big, awful budget are impacting them, right? If you're in the 3rd Congressional District, you can know that Derek Van Orden's vote for that bill, 30,000 people in his district could potentially lose their health care. 30,000 people could potentially lose their food assistance as well. Within his own district, there is a rural hospital in Osseo that is on the chopping block. It is one of those hospitals, right? And I think that a way that you can sort of beat the system, which the Democratic Party of Wisconsin has really prides itself on doing, is figuring out creative ways to overcome the odds, is to just use our message that is more engaging, more localized, with messengers that actually break through to people, even if we don't own a cable news station.
Because you mentioned Derek Van Orden's district in the western part of Wisconsin, we did have a text come in a little bit earlier from Kurt in Eau Claire, who says the people that support DVO in this area think he's doing a very good job. I saw an ad on Facebook over the weekend, huge, thanking Derek Van Orden for cutting taxes in Wisconsin. I don't see much being put out by the Democrats telling us what they're doing or saying. They need to get their act together. As a senior citizen, I would like to see DVO gone. We have heard from other listeners, Devin, in particularly Western Wisconsin, because of their media landscape, they get a lot of their stuff from TV in Minneapolis. And so they're kind of in an information desert, essentially. So we have had or heard more calls about spend some more money in District 3 because we're not getting all the information.
Absolutely. And, you know, the 3rd Congressional District is a little quirky in that regard. I worked for Congressman Kine for 4 years, so I know it quite well. You actually have 4 media markets. You have Wausau, Rhinelander, Minneapolis, La Crosse, Eau Claire, and then a splash of Madison in the southwestern portion of the district. So it can be really difficult to communicate in traditional ways. But something that we did last week was we held a town hall in the city of La Crosse. Derek Van Orden, despite the fact he took the time to tweet 75 times and has been basically on a Twitter bender. I don't know when he started. He's been on it for a while, but he really ramped it up after he voted for this budget. Yet he still won't just hold a town hall. You know, he is screwing his constituents and won't even look him in the eye after he does it or before he did it. And I think that's just a disgrace. I mean, when I worked for Congressman Ron Kind, he made it a point to go to every county every single year to have a listening session with folks. This guy's too much of a coward to leave his safe space down in Prairie du Chien to come up anywhere else in the district. This not only was a way for folks to be able to express their feelings about his betrayal, but it also helped get our message out. And I think that we have to be a little bit scrappier, especially in a district like the 3rd, because we don't have the resources to be up everywhere year round in a place like that when you're covering 4 markets. Yeah. But if we show up and we can get people excited and engaged and capture the press's attention with an event like our town hall, that does help get our message out. And I look forward to figuring out what else we can do to hold them accountable. I promise Kurt in Eau Claire, we are going to stick it to Derek Van Orden now through Election Day.
And going back to the 72 county strategy, you know, one of the things that's been very beneficial for the Democratic Party and Democrats and people of Wisconsin, I believe, is gaining more seats in the Assembly and the State Senate and moving forward. And we see a lot of energy coming from those who want to run and those who are, you know, excited about what fair maps have brought the state. Devin, can you speak more about the State Senate runs, the strategy that you have going forward for at least the next cycle?
We have tremendous opportunity in 2026. This is the first time in a long time that we have the opportunity to win a trifecta, to retain the governorship, win the Senate, and win the Assembly. And I am bullish on both the Senate and the Assembly. I think that we are in the process of having candidates emerge that are going to be incredibly strong in a variety of districts in both chambers. And at the end of the day, I think that, you know, the sort of betrayal of their constituents, a theme that I was hitting on with Derek Van Orden, is true of these folks as well. You know, if you want to look at Howard Markline, trying to gut education funding, especially for rural schools. Like, I mean, his community has a lot of them. Rural schools are the beating heart of many communities.
Absolutely.
It is the gathering place. It is where people go to find community. And many of them are already facing difficult decisions about cutting sports programs, about cutting band, about consolidating districts. And all of a sudden you have bus routes that take over an hour to get kids to and from school. I think that we need to hold them accountable on that. You have Rob Hutton in the Senate as well, who was part of the Foxconn boondoggle, giving them $4.5 billion in subsidies to basically plow a field and build a facility that didn't do anything. And thankfully, Governor Evers was able to make something out of nothing and deliver a fantastic deal with Microsoft. But I think that, you know, their sort of track record is going to really come back to bite them now that they are actually being held accountable to their voters. And I think that it's just a little unique for the Senate in some ways because these folks may not have been up before, right? Because it's staggered every 2 years. But also in the Assembly, I think that Robin Voss may be in for a bit of a surprise with just how far down his list he needs to go to defend his incumbents. We're not just going to focus on the seats that get a majority. I think we can reach deep in 2026 and hopefully have, by a resounding vote with a margin to spare, a Speaker Greta Neubauer and a Senate Leader Dianne Hesselbein.
Devin, can you stay with us for another segment or do you have to go?
I can stay.
Wonderful. Yeah. We're going to continue our conversation with the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Devin Remicker is our guest. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All of these things should sound off alarm bells bigly. You see what Donald Trump's doing with Harvard and with Columbia. You see what he's doing with Paramount. ABC capitulated in a lawsuit to Trump. We're America. We're not Hungary. We're a democracy. We're always going to be a democracy. Yeah, that's what they thought in Hungary. The way that Viktor Orban and the right wing gained power was by using a little bit of power to get more power, to use pressure on networks.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Cal B, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He is the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Devin Remicker. Good enough to give us and stick around for another segment. Thank you for your time, Devin. I'm sure you have several other things you need to get to. But I wanted to talk a little bit in the time that we have, and we hear from listeners around the state who live in very red counties. Wisconsin has 72 counties. What do I do if I'm a blue dot swimming in a sea of red? Who do I reach out to if I would like to get to talk to someone in the Democratic Party? Because the Democrats are in all 72 counties, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's Democrats everywhere. And I would really encourage folks to first reach out to their county party. And if you're having difficulty reaching them, you know, some people are on different wavelengths when it comes to responsiveness through different means. You can also reach out to your congressional district chair. We also have those in every single congressional district in the state. And they can help provide a little nudge, you know, in case that email inbox wasn't checked recently or something like that. You can also get involved with the neighborhood team if you go to mobilize. organize.us/wisdems, WISDEMS. You can find organizing events near you. We have over 270 neighborhood teams across the state, in addition to our county parties, that are organized locally to help take action and communicate on the issues that voters care about. I will just say on sort of an editorial note as well, it can feel lonely being in a red area. You can feel totally surrounded. Heck, even in places that are purple, it sometimes feels like Republicans are on surround sound. You know, it's on social media. We have the sort of right-wing media ecosystem that we talked about earlier. There's signs, there's hats. You know, it feels like you're outnumbered. Oftentimes, I think that there are more Democrats than folks may realize around them. You know, if a county is voting 70% Republican, that still means 30% of that is Democratic, right? And trying to build community, you know, reaching out to your neighbors and you know, making that dot a little bit brighter blue is incredibly important work. And I think that sometimes I had this own experience where I live outside of Reedsburg, Wisconsin, township of Excelsior, to be specific, and we put out a Susan Crawford yard sign recently in the Supreme Court election. And one of our neighbors stopped my wife as she was walking our dogs and said, "Hey, it's brave of you to do that. Just so you know, I'm a Democrat. And so is that person three doors down. So is that person." And before we knew it, we had like kind of power mapped the neighborhood a little bit. And I think that, reaching out to folks and just like we did after that, of having conversations and trying to plug them in and get them involved and put the sign out the next time, can help show people that Democrats are everywhere and you have nothing to be afraid of because you are on the right side of history fighting for people.
That's so important, though, Devin, that folks realize that you are not completely alone. It might feel that way, but there are quiet Democrats. I think there are quieter Democrats than there are Republicans in some of these 72 counties. And as you said, a good starting point, just look for the Democratic Party of your county. Start there or find some other group. When I drive around, I was running for groceries yesterday, and there are little groups I see in Wauwatosa, Protect Democracy. You know, it's just little groups like that. Maybe that's something that would interest you. Mm-hmm. So you don't feel so hopeless and helpless.
Exactly. And, you know, while you're on Mobilize, there's not just events from the Democratic Party available there. There are events from groups of all sorts and stripes. Get involved. And, you know, part of the 72 county strategy that I talked about is also figuring out ways that we can partner with those groups to talk about the issues that people care most about and reach out to folks ahead of the upcoming election. And I think that there are so many people that are getting involved. You know, during the chair campaign, we were doing a lot of county party visits, congressional district committee visits. And at almost every single county party, without fail, there would be someone that walked into the door, had never been involved before, and asked how they could sign up to be a member. I was in Washera County in, I believe, April, and I had that exact experience, which, you know, is a county that historically has been quite red, yep, very rural. And there in Wild Rose, they have an office year-round right on the main drag. And having that presence so that folks knew when they finally had enough, when they were fed up and ready to do something, they knew exactly where to go. That's the ticket. And we want to make sure that county parties have the infrastructure and the ability to do that year round statewide.
The mobilize.us/wisdems will be in the show notes. So if you want to check that out, folks, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Matt and Aaron there, and you can find that link in the show notes. Also, just really quick before we get out of here, I just want to share a story. We were up in, we did a tour this past week or 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Time's a construct. And we were in Hayward, and a gentleman who, by all accounts, we would always assume looked like a guy who didn't agree with anything we said, period. Just didn't look like it at all. And he came up to us. Said, "My name is Steve. I'm a big fan." Gave us a small thumbs up. He goes, "You're doing a good job." And then he walked away. And I think that's important for us to know that, to what we're doing as civic media, that he doesn't feel alone and he hopefully has friends he can talk to and share and build that energy that you're talking about. Moving, I don't even want to say, I mean, I'm sure you want to say more left, but like to the right side of history, to a better, fairer Wisconsin for all people. And I will never forget Steve from Hayward for the rest of my life. It was a wonderful thing to see.
Devin Remicker is the new chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. If you would like to get involved, as Greg said, we will include all the links in our show notes. All you have to do is go to civicmedia.us. Take heart. You are not alone. Right, Devin?
Absolutely. We are going to build community. We are going to win back the trust of voters, and we're going to win big in 2026. thank you all. And I think as is the work that you've done to help build that community, especially for folks that may not have that many folks around them physically, being able to sort of hear from folks around the state, different perspectives, different issues, it really helps. And I think that is what folks need right now is a little bit of hope. And I am confident we can make big change in 2026.
Devin Remicker, the chair of Wisconsin Democrats, thank you so very, very much for your time. We'd love to have you back on when you're available. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News special report. A shooting at a Midtown Manhattan office building has left at least four people, plus the shooter, motive unclear, dead. NYPD Commissioner Jessica Tisch said off-duty police officer Diderol Islam was killed.
He put himself in harm's way. He made the ultimate sacrifice. Shot in cold blood, wearing a uniform that stood for the promise that he made to this city. He died as he lived, a hero.
He was a 36-year-old immigrant from Bangladesh. Mayor Eric Adams.
Tonight we mourn for those who were killed. And we pray for the families as they go through this painful moment.
CBS News New York reporter Jennifer Bisram describes a massive police presence at the scene.
You got to think, this is after work. This is dinner time. People expecting to just, you know, regular Monday evening, getting home to their family or spending time with friends and loved ones, and then on lockdown.
CBS News special report. I'm Michael Toscano.
Jenkins back for the pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where Elgton Jenkins is back to work and in his new role on the offensive line at center. Now, the team had asked Jenkins to move from left guard to center in the offseason, but when they signed Aaron Banks from the 49ers to a $77 million contract, Jenkins' agent objected. Today, Jenkins, returning from a back injury suffered during weightlifting in May, says he's back and will play center on his current deal.
Right now, I'm just focused on the season going forward, just being able to perform for the team and just getting our O-line right, offense right, and so we can be better this year than we was last year.
Today was the first practice in pads, and on just the third play from scrimmage, running back Marshawn Lloyd, a third-round pick last year out of USC, was hit so hard by defensive back Nate Hobbs, he fell to his knees and sat out the rest of the day. Baseball, Brewers and Cubs, game one of the divisional rivals, going at it tonight at American Family Field. We'll recap the game later tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Phineas and Ferb are coming back in 2026. Season 5 is currently on the air, but it's being called a revival. At Comic-Con last week in San Diego, the producers celebrated said revival of the Disney show, which launched 10 new episodes June 5th, and announced that the next batch of episodes will drop next year. Phineas and Ferb debuted in 2007, but went off the air in 2015. The USA Network has announced it has canceled Resident Alien, despite the show carving out a nice following over its four seasons. The announcement was made right before the season 4 finale last week. The sci-fi comedy is about an alien who is also a doctor in a small town and tries to conceal his identity. The show is based on a book of the same title. Executive producer Chris Sheridan says he wasn't totally caught off guard by the surprise, and for what it's worth, says the season 4 finale episode is his favorite of the whole series. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds, showers, and storms becoming likely in the overnight. Low temperatures will drop back into the upper 60s. Our winds will be light, some of the rain locally heavy. Tuesday, showers and storms in the morning, then mostly sunny and lower 80s. It's 75 at our studios.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah. It's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, we're joined by Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, and at 5 o'clock, I engage with Professor Mariel Barnes about violence against women, gender, and the Epstein scandal next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live streamers.
Hi,
on
live streamers.
Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in just a little bit, around 10:51, 2:3-ish. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the extra padding edition. I would encourage you to stick around for that. On Friday, well, actually, this is the time of the show that we call Audio Sorbet.
You know, just kind of
lighten things up.
Audio Sorbet. We clean your ears with fun.
We need an open for that. We clean your ears with fun. Yes, where we just try to get away from the news a little bit. We talk about a lot of news because it's important. It's not like we don't appreciate that things are...
Always on fire.
Always on fire, frequently on fire. We know that. But we believe that it is important to laugh.
Yes.
And just take a breath and get away from it for a little bit. So that's why we do Audio Sorbet to wrap up the last half an hour of the show. And on Friday, we were talking about my adventure in parking lots. Last week, all the hosts across Civic Media met in Madison for our annual meeting. And after our meeting was over, there's a parking ramp attached to the to our building, to our office there in Madison.
Yeah.
And I wandered around for 40 minutes because I could not find my car.
Yeah.
And remember Wednesday, it was super hot, super, super hot.
And when it's super hot inside a parking garage that's concrete, that's just radiating heat.
It was so hot in there, and I was drenched. I'm just drenched. And finally, right before I texted you, I thought, I'm just going to sit down here and melt into a puddle and cry, and I'll just be here forever. I'll be here alone forever. Ultimately, obviously, I did find my car.
Update, folks. She found her car, she's here today.
But we were taking your calls about similar situations. Other folks have done this.
Yeah.
Lost in a parking lot, can't find your car at a concert. Had a great one from Alpine Valley.
Oh my God. Just
wandering for several days looking for their car.
If you can't find your car at Alpine now just owns your car.
Pretty much.
It's just,
I'm just going to look for it in a used car lot somewhere, and that's where it's going to show up.
I was going to say, I'm really surprised there just isn't like a secret, like, hey, come to this is the secret dump ground for Alpine for cars.
But we got this right after we got off the air on Friday, and it made me laugh so hard. It's like, we need to include this.
Yeah.
So we have a little follow-up from Friday's Audio Sorbet. Here we go. I'm a trucker. I was parked at a service plaza in Ohio. The highway was closed due to a blizzard. I went inside for some food. When I came back out to my truck, the darn key wouldn't work.
Darn it.
Darn it. After several tries and much, much frustration, the window opens. A guy leans out and says, try the truck in front of this one. It was the wrong truck. It was the same company truck.
Yeah.
Same model and color of truck. The wrong truck. So they're standing in front of this truck with the key fob going click, 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 click. And it's not opening and not opening. And finally, the guy in the truck opens the window and says, yeah, you're trying to open the wrong car.
You know what I enjoy about that story? Besides the Jane Matinere copyrighted laughter right there. Trademark. Is the fact that the guy in the truck just sat there and let it happen for a while.
For so long.
He was just like, who's this guy? What's he doing?
I'm just going to let it go for a little bit.
Let's see how long this lasts. Right. And then finally he just says to himself, okay, this is embarrassing. Hey.
I'm going to help you out.
Now that, okay, so I had said last week that I've never really lost my car. There's no stories that stand out. There are times where I thought I parked in a certain spot and it's my car's not there.
Thought it was stolen?
I thought it was stolen. Yeah. And my car is two spots over. I just forgot where I parked. So I didn't lose it in the parking garage. I just didn't turn to my left.
But it's that panic.
It's that initial panic. But trying to get into a car that I think is mine, the amount of times I have done that is shockingly large and very embarrassing.
That was from Marge. I want to thank you, Margie, for sending that in. That was so, so funny.
Yeah, that was great.
And I'm sure, Margie, you are not alone. I'm sure there are other people who have thought, this is my car. It's covered in snow, but I know it's my car.
Yeah.
And then it's not.
It's not your car. And that's just another way to get, and thank you for emailing us. If you ever have these stories, you can send it to janesays@civicmedia.us, whether it's a Tisbat suggestion, a guest suggestion, a segment suggestion, whatever's going on. If you want us to know about it, tell us, janesays@civicmedia.us. And we thank you for getting in touch with us.
And you can always join us if you have a story you would like to share at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Another reminder as well to make sure you download the Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm.
Because every Friday is Free Ticket Fridays, and we want to congratulate Jim from Brookfield.
Yes.
They picked up, Jim and his wife, I believe, picked up those tickets for this Wednesday's game at AmFam Field, crew hosting the Cubbies. It is going to be a really good game. But you will have more chances coming up, mm-hmm. but you have to have the Civic Media app.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's absolutely free. Any other stories about losing your vehicles in parking lots at 855? What are you looking? 855-752-4842. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because we're bringing this. I mean, I know we have the addendum and everything, but I'm just like, Jane, did you lose your car again this weekend?
I did not.
Okay. All right. That's great. I just wanted to make sure that you need cars.
You think I would tell you now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, you would. I would expect this. I would expect a text message saying, guess what? ... And I'd be like, you lost your car again, didn't you? And she's like, I now live in Key Wascom.
Can you come and get me?
Well, that was the thing.
Come and pick me up.
That was the thing, too, is you sent me that text message. I couldn't find my car. Now here, like, well, I'll give some more context to the story.
Okay.
The parking garage, while you and Shali have designed it as a labyrinth of terror with automobile storage, it's not that big.
It's five levels.
It's five levels, yeah. And it's not like gigantic, like large, wide. It's not like
an airport parking lot.
It's rather, I believe, rather navigable. But when you sent that to me, my first instinct was, you can't find your car. I'll give it like 5 minutes. I'm sure you're going to find it. And then you sent me another text message saying, I still can't find it. So I said, do you want me to come help you look? Because I was at the comedy club on State. Shout out to the club on State. We share the same building as HQ at Civic Media.
Right.
So I was like, it wasn't.
Because I knew you were there.
Yeah, it wasn't a long walk for me at all. So I said, do you want me to come help you? And you said yes. And I thought to myself, all right, I'm going to go upstairs. Made sure I cleared it with the club to make sure I wouldn't miss my spot. And then as I'm walking up there, I'm like, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to walk through the door and she's going to say, I found my car. And what happened when I walked through the door of the parking garage? I found it.
Well, and why would you? What I wanted you to do we would have jumped in your vehicle.
Yeah. You think I'm giving up that prime spot that I had? No.
Well, I don't need you to walk around with me to find my car. I needed you to drive me around to find my car.
With my nice air conditioning?
Yes, exactly. And then I could use my key fob on every level going past every single car, hoping I was going to hit the right one.
Do you know what that looks like from maybe a cop's perspective?
Do I care?
Oh, wow.
At this point?
Wow. And the other thing, too, is I said, you know, I was going to walk into the parking garage and just yell your name to see where you're at. And then I realized that a man who, by the way, folks, if you've never seen me, I look like every police sketch drawing.
You are a large bearded man.
A large, long hair bearded man.
Yes.
And walking into a parking garage at night, in the dark, just screaming a woman's name, probably not the best move for me either. So I just was hoping against hope that the angels of car findom would find your car.
And they did.
And they did.
They came through for me in the end.
Yeah.
For which I am eternally grateful. But Margie made me feel better.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, you're not alone. You're not alone.
Because sometimes you feel like that. I'm the only one. I'm the only idiot who's ever done this.
Hey. You're not an idiot. You just forgot. Don't do that. That's not nice. Jane?
I've forgiven myself.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Oh, man.
Sort of.
Okay. All right.
But you know how it's like... When you walk into the room and you forgot what you were doing, you were looking for.
Okay, we could talk about that for 40 minutes. Like,
because when you get to be my age, everything is like, oh my God, that's Alzheimer's. Yeah. Every time I forget something or why I walked into a room, it's like, oh my God, that's the early sign.
Yeah, and that's the thing is there are so many times where I walk into a room and I'll say, I came in here for a reason. And then what I'll do is I'll walk out of the room and try to walk and walk back into it. Thinking
Does that help?
No, it really never does.
To reset?
No, it never helps. Contrary to popular belief, I am not a robot, which I can just, you know, rewind my programming and say, what was I thinking about 45 seconds ago when I thought to myself, hey, grapes sound really good right now.
I love that you go back in thinking that's going to do it for you.
Of course I do. Or I put my fingers to my temple and try to think it out of my...
Because you're going to squish it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Squeeze it.
I mean, I am truly my mother's son. I have gone in the house no less than four times after going into the car. I go in the car, it's time to go. I forgot this thing. I forgot this thing. And when you get to the third to fourth, you start to feel bad.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of self-judgment coming out there.
It feels like you need to take a breath and just say, all right, start writing things down.
Calvin, you are a resident young person. You'll have the final word on this. Do you ever walk into a room and forgot why you were going in there?
Probably more than is reasonable for someone my age. Yeah, it definitely happens. So one thing as far as forgetfulness and this probably isn't a good example because it's as I'm falling asleep, but I'll be like thinking of like a story or explaining, like thinking of something in my head, and I'll just like forget what, like almost like where you forget what you were going to say, but it was in your head. And then I'm like, okay, well now it's time to go to sleep.
Yeah.
I can no longer follow my own thoughts.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not listening to me right now. I have to go to bed. Yeah, I've been there too. I've had where like you take some NyQuil. You take some NyQuil because you're not feeling good, or because you just want to sleep desperately. And NyQuil has that thing where it just starts intermittently shutting your brain down, where you're like watching television, like, all right, cool. Okay, maybe I should go. It's time to go to bed now. It's time. I'm sputtering.
Should you ever have an idea for an audio sorbet,
yes,
say you've lost something.
Mm-hmm. Like your mind.
Like your mind. You can always email that to us at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. JaneSays@civicmedia.us. Coming up, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing Extra Padding Edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live streamers on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up, news, followed by Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Our friend and colleague Todd Allbaugh, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, and Pete Schwabba with Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m.
I'm on Nightlight this week.
Are you? What night?
7 o'clock at 7:20.
Which night?
Thursday, sorry.
Oh, Thursday, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. Sorry, I'm very tired. I mowed the lawn yesterday. I'm barely awake right now. Thursday, 7:20, I will be on Nightlight with Pete Schwab. I'm very much looking forward to it. It's always a great
time. It is a lot of fun. I think I'm going to be on in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about hate watching. There's something on HBO that I can't not watch because I hate it. it's, I can't.
And
stop.
I know exactly what it is.
I know you do.
I referenced it this weekend to Bridget when I was talking to her about this specific show. What show, do you ask? Well, you're just going to have to wait until Jane is on Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Peach should be coming up in the next couple of weeks. Coming up on our show tomorrow, Pat Kreitlow from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow mm-hmm. will be joining us after 9:35. We will break down what's going on in Wisconsin. Always lots of things happening. Right now, though, it is 10:54, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from CBS News. Carrie Breen with the byline. The headline reads, Florida woman caught trying to carry turtles through airport security in her bra. Don't do this. A Florida woman was caught hiding two turtles in her bra while passing through TSA at the Miami International Airport last week. The woman has yet to be identified. She had the turtles wrapped in what appeared to be gauze and plastic wrap.
Oh, my God.
The TSA did not identify the breed of turtles. One of them died.
Oh.
Well, you can't wrap them in plastic. He doesn't breathe. It's called breathing. One turtle died. The surviving turtle turned over to the Florida Department of Fish and Wildlife. This is the important part.
Yeah.
TSA said on social media, quote, friends, please, and we cannot emphasize this enough, stop hiding animals in weird places on your body and then trying to sneak them through airport security, unquote.
I believe that, while, yes, a very, very diplomatic tweet, a very, you know, the answer is, the response is good. I feel like, quote, and we cannot emphasize this enough, unquote, is their way of saying something very non-FCC compliant. Just like, and the amount of like friends, please. And we can't emphasize this enough. Like, there's so much rage and fist clenching
in that little phrase.
Oh my gosh. It does that. There's a lot of emotion in that phrase.
I think this is something we could all abide by. Stop hiding animals in weird places on our bodies and trying to get them through airport security. I think we should put that on a shirt.
And I don't think we need to worry about identifying this woman. We already have Florida woman. Enough said. Right.
The TSA, by the way, does allow travelers to bring pets, including turtles, through security checkpoints. You do have to remove your turtle from any carriers and then carry it through the checkpoint. The carrying case does have to be x-rayed as well. Other airlines may have different pet policies. TSA says, notice we say carried, not hidden underneath your clothing.
It's all carrying to me. I don't know why the Florida lady sounded like that in my head, but she did. But yeah, and it's just, it's really a bummer that one of them died because of this too. I don't mean to bring it down, but you know, just
can we not do this?
Yeah, there are websites. They have the information you need on how to transfer.
On how to, yes.
Yeah.
If this is your emotional security, yes. Emotional backup turtle.
Yeah. This is my emotional turtle.
This is my emotional backup turtle. You can bring them through. You don't have to wrap them up in plastic.
Yeah, that is just
don't do that.
That's a bad move.
Don't do that.
We cannot stress this enough. We cannot emphasize this enough.
Yeah.
Please don't do this.
TSA might be a pain in the neck for all of us, but in this instance, I would like to think we could all agree.
These are the moments where I really actually have a lot of sympathy, empathy, and love for TSA. Because I've never seen anything like this in line. I've seen some attitude. I've seen some objects. Yeah. I've seen things happen, but I have never seen turtles wrapped in plastic and gauze
in a bra.
And that's not something you sign up for when you're like, I'm going to work for the TSA.
Yeah. One more time, just to share this quote, yes. Friends, please, and we cannot emphasize this enough. Stop hiding animals in weird places on your body and trying to sneak them through airport security, unquote. A lesson to live by.
Never thought I'd have to say that out loud.
I didn't have to. That wraps up today's episode of
This shouldn't be a thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and for watching on the stream. It really does mean the world. And I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next on the vast statewide, countrywide. Listen to us globally on the app, the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. An office tower on Midtown Manhattan's Park Avenue is the scene of a deadly mass shooting.
Officials say a man carrying a rifle killed four people at a New York City office building, including an off-duty NYPD officer. The man wounded a fifth person before taking his own life. NYPD Commissioner Jessica Tisch with more on the officer killed.
Didarul Islam, 36 years old, 4 years on the job. Officer Islam was married with two young boys, and his wife is pregnant with their third child.
She says the shooter, a man in his 20s from Las Vegas, had a documented mental health history, but the motive is still unknown. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.